Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guests today are Taryn O'Neill, Tamara Krinsky, and Gia Mora, the sirens, the actresses fighting for increased advocacy of science and education of science in all fields, especially entertainment. And all of us who are fans of science fiction movies that get the science wrong can more than appreciate this effort. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So how did sirens get started? Because some of you have done, actually, I think all of you have done work in genre entertainment, films and TV shows, but what spurred the science education angle?
Taryn, why don't you?
I will jump in. Well, it's ironic, Summer, because the first time I spoke to you, I had just produced a sci-fi web series.
Mm-hmm. After Judgment, right.
Exactly. And it was that sci-fi web series that I produced and acted in that started me writing science fiction. And when I started writing science fiction, I became enamored with the science behind it. And it just basically opened this wormhole to a whole new world for me. And I became a huge advocate for it and then ended up writing a blog post with a call to action to fellow actresses I knew who also were big science nerds. And my premise was basically, you know, we need more STEM literacy and science literacy in the general public to, you know, meet the challenges of global warming, climate change, technological innovation and proliferation. And who would be better advocates for that than actresses? Because we would be the least expected ones. And long story short, we ended up, a group of us, forming Sirens, and now the core group of us is Tamara, Gia, and myself. And we're doing advocacy as well as developing content that has a STEM angle and STEM characters in it.
That's awesome. When you say you're developing content, is this projects you're writing on, you're working on stuff for the web for people to read and get more involved?
Actually, they're more television and digital scripted and unscripted projects that we'd ultimately like to get made, that we'd like to sell. So yes, we have our social media feeds and we write blog posts that are more sort of call to actions and love letters to STEM and science, but these are actual, you know, entertainment gear projects that we want to champion out into our contacts and see if we can actually get projects made that have really diverse, inclusive STEM storylines and STEM characters in them.
Now that is fascinating. Are these all projects that you've worked on or are working on, or projects that people have brought to you to get help in getting them funded and made?
Yeah, these are projects, the majority of these are projects that we are currently in the process of writing and developing. So ultimately, we will be going to some people to get funding for them and some help in getting them made. We have been approached by some external entities who have looked to attach us to projects as well, and so those projects are out in the world being pitched. So a little bit of each, but primarily what we're actively focusing on is the development of our own stuff right now. And it all really stems from, you know, this premise that Taryn posited in that original blog post, which we all heartily believe in, which is the idea that entertainment can be a gateway toward interest in science and science literacy in the general public. You know, it's really that idea that, you know, maybe you were in physics class and were not very engaged, but then you went to see Interstellar and you were like, black holes are kind of cool. I want to know a little bit more about that. And so suddenly you fall into the rabbit hole, no pun intended, which becomes the black hole of, you know, going down to of research, and, you know, suddenly you're in there and you know a lot more than before. So it's another way of reaching someone and of reaching a different audience than the audience that may, you know, have that very early interest in science.
Have any of the projects gotten any positive response, as in, you know, maybes or yeses?
We're just at the beginning process of this.
Yeah, too early.
Yeah, too early. So,
everybody that we mentioned that we're doing this, we have we have been met with nothing but enthusiasm. Everyone is, you know, thrilled that we're sort of endeavoring to tackle this. You know, traditional Hollywood, it's about audience numbers and, you know, and as biggest mainstream appeal as possible. So sort of our challenge as actresses and writers, because we've all written before, is about finding these stories that are rooted in character, in engaging characters and appealing and accessible stories. But we're just going to be, you know, showcasing them in a unique fashion where people are like, oh, you know, I had this preconceived notion that, you know, a scientist was this like nerd in a lab with glasses and, you know, and we're like, no, you can, there are a ton of types of scientists and they have families and they're vulnerable and infallible and, you know, have crazy personalities and characteristics. And so, you know, we're just sort of showcasing this in a new and engaging way, or that's our attempt at least.
The website mentions that you guys go out to events. What sort of events do you focus on to help, I guess, raise people's awareness about your projects and just the what Siren's mission is?
Well, this is Gia talking, and I can say we go to a wide variety of different events. A lot of pieces about the connection between art and science. And one of our favorite organizations that offers a lot of these kind of events is the Science and Entertainment Exchange. They're based here in Los Angeles, and they connect scientists with filmmakers and television makers so that the science can be accurate in whatever they're portraying. And so they often have interesting, different events that are focused around particular themes. And one of the favorite ones for me is one called Science Speed Dating, where you just get to spend about 7 minutes in a room with a different scientist in a different discipline, and you just rotate around the rooms and you get to learn about all these different kinds of fields, and you get to talk to people who are making movies and writing scripts. And it's really exciting to see people who are not living in the science world but are fully entrenched in the entertainment world get so excited about something like, you know, somebody working for the DOD and doing robotics to disarm IEDs or something like that. So we attend those kind of events. And then we also have our individual projects. And so, for example, Tamara did a series of plays last summer, was it, right? Which was a sci-fi play festival. So mm-hmm, going to things like that. I have a one-woman show called Einstein's Girl, which is like a stand-up act with music about theoretical physics. And so that people come see the show and we talk about science there. It's really a whole mixture of things, a big grab bag of stuff, anything we can get our little paws on. There's a cool exhibit happening right now in Orange County. This artist named Leah Halloran, she paired with a physicist named Kip Thorne, and she's done a series of these cyano prints of famous like plates of astronomy, and they're really beautiful. And then she's also, with Kip Thorne, put out a coffee table book, which are her drawings of space-time paired with his poetry about it.
Wow.
So I've been to lectures with them and to opening receptions for those kind of things. So yeah, all over the map. And it's really exciting to see all these people combining these disciplines and seeing that the process of creativity between the arts and sciences is the same process.
Yeah, we do a lot of panels as well, either as participants on the panels or as moderators. You know, Taryn especially has been involved with Gina Davis's Institute on Gender and Media. And was the panel specifically focused on women in science or science portrayals that you were part of last year? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a portrayal of women in STEM.
Right, okay. So and things
Susan,
like that.
It was a couple of years ago, and Susan Smith was actually, you know, who's now the CTO of the White House, was the moderator of it as well.
So cool. Yeah, so we do things like
I'm
that.
I'm not Susan Smith, with... Megan Smith.
I've done stuff with women in film. So we, you know, I think one of the things that's been a really nice outgrowth of the formation of Sirens is that we seem to be connecting with a lot of partner organizations that, when they hear what our message is, realize that we have a lot in common and, you know, are happy to put us up there to talk about it. So that's been a really nice growth that's come out of this, of what we're doing together.
For instance, we just did a photo shoot, and Tamara has a relationship with Celestron, which is an amazing telescope company that we've also tested out in the field with, amazing science communicators like Cara Santa Maria. And they lent us a few telescopes for a photo shoot that we did so that we could include it, in the visual mise-en-scène of our shoot.
So what are each of your favorite science disciplines? Like, what's the discipline you're each most passionate about?
Oh, we have to choose?
Gee, I know.
Like, we can't choose.
Okay, yeah, fine. Pick two.
My pet project always is physics. I'm super interested in the fundamental questions, but you could ask fundamental questions in biology and you're certainly going to be asking that in the tech field as well, especially, as this whole transhumanist movement is starting to, come to fruition during our lifetimes. I'm really interested in that, but I'm also super interested in genetics, which I think is a big place of growth and possible alteration of our entire existence.
So for me, I would say, genetics is a big area of interest for me. I had written a one-person show a couple of years ago about a stem cell research trial, and I've always been fascinated by, the nurture versus nature, which, of course, is a different kind of question these days. So that and neuroscience is a big area of interest for me, and AI and tech, sort of what's happening there and how that's affecting us. So, and I've always been a space nut. I grew up waking my parents at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch eclipses and things like that. So.
You took my entire answer, Tamara.
Oh.
No.
But you're way more into physics than I am. Like you're way into physics. Like I love that, but you go way into that, whereas I have a much more cursory understanding of it.
I do try to do as much of a deep dive as my non-academic physics academic brain can go, just in theoretical physics and as Gia said, answering the big questions, the grand unifying theory and I have a string theory. I'm fascinated by sort of the newest iterations of it. I have a script that has a lot of string theory elements into it. And like Tamara said, neuroscience is sort of new developments in what consciousness is. That's something that that I think even Elon Musk was talking about in his latest CodeCon talk about how he thinks that there's so many tech people out there, but that they're not focusing, that there should be more of a focus on neurotech and where sort of the development of elements like neurodust that's going to be operated by sound waves as opposed to electromagnetic waves and sort of how that's going to create sort of this connectivity between our brains and devices. And will we become, more of these cyborg multi-level functioning devices? It's fascinating stuff, but I'm just like a hugely curious person and I can go on a deep dive on any science topic and come out of it with like a new script idea, which of course I don't need because I have so many of them that are finished.
Have you thought about turning some of the shorter pieces into just, web presentations just to get more eyes on what you guys are doing?
I think this business happens in a million different ways. I think we're open to a lot of different possibilities. So ultimately, the ways that our project will manifest themselves will just be a combination of timing and opportunity and funding. We've all worked in all platforms. We've all worked in film. We've all worked in TV. We've all worked in digital. And we respect the different possibilities and formats of each. So I would say the priority is just making sure that however our stuff gets out, the content and format sort of match and complement each other.
And we have been working with other entities. We did a series of videos for a YouTube channel called Everyday Science TV. And so we did these cute little, sketches, I guess you could call them, on Elements, because she does the gal who hosts that, Jesse Hendricks, does an Element a Day in May, and she has a bunch of guest hosts come on. And so, we've done short content stuff like that. And we have a mission statement as a video, and I know that we've got some other short kind of mission statement sort of things in the works. And it's hard. There's so much out there to watch. I mean, you could just spend your entire life only watching web content that's actually really good and well-produced and interesting and made by thoughtful people trying to say important things. And so I know that for myself, and I think this is true for all of us, you know, what we make, we want to make it really well. You know, I think doing it the right way is important. And that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of help, too. So we're putting it together with as many people and as many minds as we can.
And to add to Gia's point, you know, there are so many wonderful science communicators out there who are scientists. They have their degrees, their master's or PhDs in a science field, and they are communicators and they're journalists and they are making amazing, you know, digital series. We don't ever see ourselves as you know, competitors to them. We are complementary, and what we would rather do is utilize our strengths as writers and performers. And figure out a way to use that angle of us from the entertainment perspective, from the performer perspective, to then support the science communication that they're doing. Because, you know, we aren't scientists, and we're always very clear about that. You know, we advocate for science education, but we're not educators ourselves. So that's, you know, that's something that we're always toying with, of like, how do we create content that really leverages what we're great at, which is portraying characters. And, you know, connecting with an audience as a character, perhaps not even, you know, playing ourselves.
Wow. Well, that is an admirable goal. If Slice of Sci-Fi and my people here, me and my people here, can ever help, don't hesitate to let us know.
Oh,
Thank you so much.
Much appreciated. And likewise, you know, part of
yes.
what we've been lucky enough to be able to do is to help amplify, you know, some of the work that the people that we respect are doing. So that's so much of what this digital social age is about, being able to find people, you know, with like minds. I mean, Sirens came together because of a blog post and Twitter. So we're very excited about the possibilities that presents.
Well, when you guys get a project up and running in development, be sure to let me know. I'll definitely get the word out about it.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Taryn, Tamara, Gia, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us, Summer.
That's Sirens. You can read more about everything they're doing, all the events that they are attending at Sirens, that's SCIRENS.com. We'll have links to that on the website. Thank you again for your time.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to talk.
And we'll be right back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Annie.
And I'm Stephanie.
We're the hosts of The Quad, a podcast about sci-fi and Space Channel's new series, Killjoys.
Killjoys follows three bounty hunters that operate in a group of planets called The Quad that is on the verge of a class war.
We'll be discussing the episodes as they air and exploring the characters, themes, and story arcs. Find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and at AskGenreTV.com.
See you in The Quad.
Thanks for listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. This is Noah Richman, and I wanted to give a quick plug to a film that I saw recently, a Korean zombie movie by the title Train to Busan. This is a film that I thought really hit a lot of the right notes. It was one of the more effective horror thrillers I've seen in quite a while. It had a good feeling of suspense as you see these people trapped on this train, I guess sort of a long-distance express train, which of course we don't have so many of here in the States, but it's a very good setting for a claustrophobic environment. The zombies are of the 28 days later nature, meaning they're almost not really zombies because they're somewhat closer to rabid people. Difference being 28 days later, they really were pretty much just rabid people, whereas this one, they die and they come back as zombies, but then they move really quick. They're not slow shambling zombies. It is a film where you don't know what's coming next because everybody is expendable, and it is just a tight, well-drafted, well-put-together piece of filmmaking. So just wanted to give a shout-out, anybody who's looking for... I know that zombies are done and done to death, and I can't say that this one... It doesn't exactly break the mold. It doesn't any break new ground, but this is one that is going to, it's a solid experience. It's definitely refreshing to see something this well put together. So if you're looking for something that is suspenseful, claustrophobic, has a lot of action scenes, I would recommend giving it a look. Train to Busan.
Thanks, Noah, for that review. If you want to check out more about Train to Busan, the review is posted on the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on over, check out the trailer and the links to where you might be able to find a showing of it in your town. It's in really limited release, but if you see it's in your city, go check it out. It really doesn't get too much better than combining science with entertainment, especially for those of us who are addicted to both. And advocating STEM literacy through being exposed to it more frequently and more accurately through the entertainment we all consume every day is an admirable and, if I may say, brilliant avenue to explore. So I wish Taryn, Tamara, and Gia all the luck in the world. I hope we get to hear about some of their projects coming into development sooner rather than later. Because I want to see more. I mean, think about how many people became interested in space travel and the science behind that because we went to the moon. How many more people became interested in the possibilities of exploring our galaxy and beyond our galaxy after watching the comet Shoemaker-Levy hitting Jupiter, or watching how excited everyone on the Mars lander teams were when those rovers landed and began operating exactly as they were designed to. And the fact that they're still running years after their expected shelf life date is just another notch in the belt of cool things science can give all of us. Not to mention those really, really, really impressive little devices most people have in their pockets now called smartphones. And without advances in engineering, there's no way we'd have phones that small that could do as much as they can. So, science and technology for the win! But yeah, if you want to check out more of what the Screen Sirens for Science are doing, the website, again, is sirens.com, S-C-I-R-E-N-S, or just come on over to the website and check out the show notes for this episode. Kind of in that slowdown mode where you get approaching the end of summer and the beginning of fall, where, well, for me, looking forward to some of the new TV shows that are coming up. And like everybody, looking forward to Luke Cage hitting Netflix next month. Yeah, September. Anticipating the return of Lucifer, season 2 looks intriguing, with Trisha Helfer cast as Lucifer's mom. That could be dangerously delicious. There's a new show coming up on Sci-Fi Channel called Aftermath that looks really very interesting. And there was another new horror show coming up. It wasn't The Strain. It wasn't The Strain season 3. This is gonna bug me, because now I can't remember what it is. Which means I'll have to write about it on Twitter later. Anyway. That's a sign I need more caffeine. But yeah, end of the summer is coming up. That means Dragon Con for everybody. And I think we have our friends at Aerolite Meteorites, Jeff Notkin, is embarking on another meteorite hunting boot camp at the end of October. If you want to find out more about that, head on over to, I think it's meteoriteadventures.com. I think that's the site. If not, go to aerolitemeteorites.com and follow links from there. Anyway, that will do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. If you have any questions or comments, feel free. Call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a message, leave your question. Or if you want to record something longer, go ahead and record that and send that in to summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to the show through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Krypton Radio. And if you are listening on iTunes or on Stitcher, please leave us a review. Let other people know that you enjoy this show and it might be something they want to check out too. Follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi or at Slice of Sci-Fi TV. Check us out on Google+, Slice of Sci-Fi, and check us out on YouTube, Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, the websites are sliceofscifi.com, sliceofscifi.tv, writersafterdark.com, kickassmysticninjas.com, and popculturegeeks.com. Thank you everyone for your donations or your pledges through Patreon. Your help is greatly appreciated because your donations really do help keep the lights on around here, keeping the websites hosted, the media hosted. Thank you. Every one of you, thank you. Thanks again to my favorite geek rock band, Sci Fried, for the wonderful theme music they've provided us for the show. You can check them out over at sci-friedband.com or sci-fried.com also. Check out when their next concerts are, their next performances, and more importantly, when their next album's coming out. Should be soon. At least they told me it would be soon. Anyway, that'll do it. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.